Okay, the doctrine of money. We're not going to do the rebound technique because I don't think you've gotten out of fellowship that quickly. At least I haven't. Number one, money is necessary for life and the operation of the economy. Genesis 23:9, Jeremiah 32:44. It is not wrong to have money. You'll see some of these nutty Christians walking around, well, brother, you can't have a nice pair of shoes, and I got to wear burlap. I can't wear a fancy thing because you know how that goes. And I bumped into these people. It's like, really? It's not wrong to have money. God established capitalism. God is a capitalist. Thou shalt not steal recognizes the private ownership of property, Exodus 20:15 and 17, in the divine institutions. So God endorses capitalism, not Bernie Sanders socialism. It's get a job is the divine viewpoint, not can you give me something, brother? I want what you have. And then Exodus 20:17 backs that up, where this is the other commandment of the Ten Commandments. You shall not covet. That means to desire your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife or his male servant or his female servant or his ox or his donkey or anything that belongs to your neighbor. That's the problem with socialism. They want other people's stuff. They see a rich person, I want what they have. That's a violation of God's law. Well, if you want what they have, then get a job. Start working. You know, save your pennies. Invest wisely. But see, they don't want to do that. They just see a rich person, and then they want what the rich person has. That's a violation. That's a sin. And yet most of socialism is based on sin, because that's what it is. We're going to spread the wealth around. We're going to take it from these people, confiscate their money, and give it to other people. Well, why are you going to do that? Well, because equality. Shouldn't we all be equal? That is a lie from Satan. Equality will not make you happy, people. Equality will not save you. Equality will not make you happy. It'll make you miserable. But see, that's what we're fighting against in this country, because you have a lot of socialists. And they just think that, well, the government should take from the rich and give to the poor. Without the rich, there would be no jobs. I love rich people because they can pay you. A poor person can't pay you a salary. You don't have any money. When you destroy the rich person, what do to your society? You destroy society. No society can survive socialism for more than 50, 60 years. Socialism will work until you run out of money. When you run out of other people's money, socialism will collapse. And that's just the way it is. Point two, the Bible commands the believer to work for a living. 1 Thessalonians 4:11, 2 Thessalonians 3:10-12. In other words, get a job. Capitalism may suffer from the dishonesty of management leaders with no virtue, but socialism is inherently evil. Socialism is always evil. I'm going to work hard, and you're going to take what I made and give it to somebody else. Does that sound fair to you? Doesn't sound fair to me. Now, if you want what other people have, it's jealousy is in your soul. It's a sin. 2 Thessalonians 3:10-12 says, "For even when we were with you," this is Paul and his traveling seminary team, "we used to give you this order. If anyone is not willing to work, ergazomai, then he is not to eat either. For we hear that some among you are leading an undisciplined life, doing no work at all, but acting like busybodies. Now such persons we command and exhort in the Lord Jesus Christ to work in quiet fashion and eat your own bread." So if you're a bum, you've got extra time to be a gossip. You're a busybody. And you stir up jealousy against rich people. We know the Democrat Party in this country, that's all they're about. And if you ever wonder, the Democrat Party that does this, they're all multimillionaires. Right? Hillary, Obama, all of them, they got a lot of money. I don't see them writing checks to the poor. The Clinton Foundation, I'm not going into politics, but what is it? 90% of their overhead goes to, 90% of the money they take in goes to overhead. In other words, offices, cars, houses, vacations. And maybe 10% goes to the poor. It's a great scam. And they say, well, we're a nonprofit. Yeah, okay, you're a nonprofit. But it's amazing, even Bernie Sanders is a multimillionaire. Well, Bernie, dude, you're talking about how money's evil and we got to get rid of money. Why don't you give up your money and become one of us? Elizabeth Warren, all these people, millions and millions of dollars, and yet they use this to divide people. Class warfare is what they call it. So, socialism is inherently evil, and the people that preach socialism, most of them, are crooks. Number three, in fact, all of them are crooks. Number three, giving of money is an expression of the believer's grace function as a royal priest as part of the Christian way of life. 2 Corinthians 8, chapters 8, chapter 9. There's no fixed amount to give. The only fixed amount is called tithes in the Old Testament, was tantamount to an income tax, and required of all citizens. And offerings are for believers only, and there's no percentage required. We studied this doctrine before under giving. As a Christian, you're commanded to give money to organizations that promote Bible doctrine. How much you give is your business. And there's no such thing as a 10% scam. That was made up. The 10% in the Old Testament was an income tax. It has nothing to do with the church age believer. You give as God has prospered you, realizing that everything you have is from God. And we studied the doctrine of giving before. Number four. Now, luckily, in this particular Bible study, you don't have to give me any money. I have a salary. I don't need any money. Paul needed money. There are full-time pastor teachers, and the believers in those churches are commanded to support those people, which means you'd have to give, or somebody's got to give, or they can't survive. Here, though, the lights and everything is furnished by courtesy of St. Mary's, which is a religious school, and they encourage religious diversity, and they're all-inclusive, so we're part of that. We're simply grace-oriented in terms of our quote-unquote religion. So we have a very low overhead in this particular Bible church. Four, money as a top priority in life is a dead end. Hebrews 13:5, Matthew 6:24, Luke 16:9-13, 19-31, and then Mark 8:36-37. Money cannot save the unbeliever, and it cannot make the believer spiritual. Matthew 6:24. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. If money is your top priority, you cannot reach maturity, because all you're thinking about is money. That's all you want to do is money, money, money. You want to accumulate money, accumulate, accumulate it. But guess what? When you die, and they're having your body's in a hearse, there's no U-Haul behind the hearse hauling all your money. It's just the hearse. Hebrews 13:5. Make sure that your character, tropos, is free from the love of money. So money's not inherently bad. It's the love of money. That's your number one priority. Being content with what you have, for he himself has said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. So that we confidently say, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What will man do to me? In other words, God provides you all the money you need. And I know everybody says, well, I'd like to be a multimillionaire. Well, that might make you a very miserable person if you're a multimillionaire. God gives you what you need to survive. And God knows you have needs, and he will take care of those needs, and he'll give you an abundance of money. So therefore, you'll have something to involve yourself with grace giving from time to time. But you got to be content with what you have. In other words, let me just put it this way. If you're not content right now with the money you have, you'll never be content even if you have $1 billion. You'll always have a case of the wants. So if you're not content with what you have right now, you'll never be content. I don't care how much you've got. I got $1 million, now I want two. I got two, now I want five. I got five, now I want 10. If you're not content with the things that you have right now, you'll never be content. And that means your priority, of course, is Bible doctrine. God will provide it for you. And this life you have is like, that's it. You're gone. You just died. Remember when you were in elementary school? Now you're sitting in this room. Now you're dead. That's how quick it goes. So money should not be your top priority. It should be learning Bible doctrine. Point five, money has no credit with God. Proverbs 11:4-28. Proverbs 11:4 and 28, and then Proverbs 13:7-11, and Psalm 119:72. Psalm 119:72 says, "The law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of gold and silver pieces." In other words, Bible doctrine is more valuable to me than thousands and thousands of pieces of gold and silver. This is a smart person. The gold you're getting today, and every day you go to Bible class, is far more important than any gold you can put in your safe or your wallet. Number six, the love of money is the great evil in the cosmic systems, not money itself. 1 Timothy 6:10, Hebrews 13:5. Thus, be content with what money and things you have, Philippians 4:11. 1 Timothy 6:10 says, "For the love of money is a root of all sorts of evil, and some by longing for it have wandered away from the faith, that's Bible doctrine, and pierced themselves with many griefs. You did it to yourself. It's like taking your pistol when you're cleaning it and cocking it, pointing at your foot, and just pull the trigger. That's basically what you're doing. Because money, your lust for money, it's a lust. And you've turned against Bible doctrine because that's not your number one priority. All your time is the lust for money, and you've destroyed your capacity. Philippians 4:11, not that I speak from want. That's the word hysterios, poverty. For I have learned monthano, which means to increase one's knowledge. You have to learn these things, folks, to be content in whatever circumstances I am. We all have to learn. 7, part of the rewards for any given believer in time can be great wealth. Proverbs 10:22, Philippians 4:19. Proverbs 10:22 says, it is the blessing of the Lord that makes rich, and he adds no sorrow to it. Part of your blessings, God may have designed for you a lot of money. No credit card debt and $200,000 in the bank. That'd be pretty cool. God might have that for you. He might have in mind that you're going to marry a rich man or a rich woman. And that's the best way to do it. You don't have to do anything. All you got to do is say, I do, and boom, you're in. You can make more money in 1 second by saying, I do, to the right person than you can work in your entire life. Ever think about that? So maybe that God has that in mind for you. But again, without Bible doctrine, that money will make you miserable. Oh, I don't believe it, Atticott. God, please give me $1 million. I'll prove you're wrong. I'll be very happy with $1 million. No, you won't. If Bible doctrine is not your number one priority, it'll make you miserable. Examples. Every other day, or a couple times a year, you hear about all these Hollywood people that hang themselves, shoot themselves, drug overdose. They're multi-millionaires. You go, dude, life's not that bad, is it? That you got to kill yourself? Well, how could that be? Their soul is miserable, and the money doesn't make them happy. So you might say, well, look, I got a solution to your problem. Don't kill yourself. Just give me all your money if it doesn't make you happy. Well, they don't want to do that either. They got the money. It makes them miserable, but they don't want to let it go. And so they just kill themselves. And you can kill yourself slowly or quickly. You can hang yourself, shoot yourself, or just do drugs and kill yourself. Or alcoholism. Lots of ways to do it. Have a lot of fun with it. But it's money. It's not going to do it. But money's not evil. Some believers are going to be very wealthy. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were multimillionaires. Right? Jesus Christ came from a wealthy family. The Magi gave his daddy, not his human father, but his legal father, Joseph, a big sack of gold. That's how they went to Egypt. He didn't have a little cheap carpentry business. He had a very successful carpentry business. And Peter and his brother, these guys were wealthy fishermen. So money's not evil. Enjoy money. Number 8, the gospel of Bible doctrine not for sale. 2 Corinthians 11:7-8, Revelation 22:17, Micah 3:11. Revelation 22:17 says, the Holy Spirit and the bride say, come, erkomai. That means to come from one place to another. And let the one who hears say, come. And let the one who is thirsty, dipsao. That means you're on positive volition in your soul. You're thirsty. You want Bible doctrine. Come. And let the one who wishes to take the water of life without cost. Bible doctrine's free. And that's the greatest money you could ever have. And it's absolutely no charge to you whatsoever. At all. And people that try to charge you are evil. Many churches subtly try to charge you. They'll want you to buy their book, or they'll give you a guilt trip to contribute to the money and the 10% and all this stuff is evil. 2 Corinthians 11:7-8. Or did I, Paul, commit a sin in humbling myself so that you might be exalted because I preached the gospel of God to you without charge? I robbed other churches by taking wages from them to serve you. Somebody had to pay Paul. He had to have clothes, he had to have food, he had to have writing utensils, he had to have all these things. So other churches would support Paul, and he says, look, I didn't take any money from you people at all. And of course, this letter is written to the Corinthians. Ironically, the Corinthians were the wealthiest believers of all the ancient world. They had more money than all the other churches, and yet they wouldn't give Paul any money, and Paul wouldn't ask him for any money. He had to get it from other churches. Amazing, isn't it? Micah 3:11. Her leaders pronounce judgment for a bribe. Her priests instruct for a price, and her prophets divide for money. Yet they lean on the Lord, saying, Is not the Lord in our midst? Calamity will not come upon us. Yes, it will. In other words, they're saying, We are God's people. You must give us money, or we won't perform the rituals. We won't give you Bible doctrine. We have the secret handshake. God is with us. Anybody can say God is with us. But these people, God is not with them at all. You do not charge for Bible doctrine at all. It's not for sale. And anything in this ministry is not for sale. We have a website, and you don't have to, you know, join the website and pay us $20, brother. No, there's no money at all. And we have people that work here in this ministry. I don't pay them any money. We try to pay whatever costs are associated with the production of things, but they do it as unto the Lord. And if you're not doing your job as unto the Lord, you've got your reward. And if your reward is for me to pat you on the head, that's not a very good reward. It's better to have the reward for all eternity, because you're doing it as unto the Lord. You're doing whatever job the Lord has opened the door for you is unto the Lord. And your rewards will be fantastic beyond your imaginations, because you do it unto the Lord. Do you think I want to get between you and the Lord? I don't. Not at all. But most churches, what do? Man, they'll give you a plaque. If you just cut the grass, you get a plaque, a certificate of appreciation. And we all want to clap for so-and-so. And everybody's clapping and clapping. And you know what people are thinking when they're clapping and clapping for that person? Yeah. Many of them are thinking very bad thoughts. Oh, she's not all that. He's not all that. I could have done that. And so they stroke people. It's called stroking. They give them all sorts of little, you know, points and certificates, and they acknowledge them in the church bulletin, and they use that to get other people to give. They'll say, everybody that has a mother, please give $20. And they'll say, so-and-so gave 10. Who will give 30? It's just like a bidding war for approbation lust. Bible has nothing to do with that stuff. R.B. Thiem is the person I studied under primarily. He's a super genius in the original languages. He wrote many, many books and pamphlets and things. He never charged a dime for anything. Anything. Not a penny, not a dime. Now, how did he get all those books produced? People contributed. People gave, but he never twisted any arms. He would often say, people stop giving, we just close the doors, because that obviously means the Lord has had enough of this ministry, and I'll go on and do something else. That's my attitude as well. That's the grace attitude. I'm not here to make money. I never make an issue out of money. You never should make an issue out of money at all. So, to recap, money is necessary to live. I'm all for money. I'd like to have more of it myself, but I'm content with what I have right now. And there's nothing wrong with being ambitious and working hard and accumulating wealth. God, that's part of the divine blessings that you can have. But it should not be your number one priority at all. The love of money is the root of all evil, not money. Not money at all. So, if we don't have any questions, we'll conclude this morning. Okay? With our head bowed and our eyes closed, Father, we thank you for the privilege of studying these two important doctrines, metamorphosis and money. We pray that God the Holy Spirit will challenge us this next year, and we pray that you will keep us alive through another year so that we may learn your word and grow from whatever position we're at to the highest levels of spiritual maturity to glorify you. In Christ's name, amen.